accession number 20335, Reel 5.
Arthur Clarke, Reel 5. How do you feel now about having served in the RAF air crew in the Second World War?
Privileged. The air crew I served with were a credit to the country. They were utterly reliable. In fact, so many of the navigators were teachers, and I had a spell between the two tours of instructing at Stradishaw, and I loved that work, teaching air navigation. That when the war ended, I took one of these courses to go into a technical college for bookkeeping and simple accountancy and things like that. And also, curiously enough, I had quite good shorthand, which was another thing in those days, which was a subsidiary subject. And I went to Henley-on-Thames Technical College, plus a Church of England school in Oxfordshire.
How do you feel about the criticisms that have been made of Bomber Command during the war?
When the war ended, as navigation leader, we were asked to do certain trips at various heights in various aircrafts to try out a thing called the Decker Navigator. And my job was to go as navigator and then to write the final report. We went at all sorts of heights, including with a chap called Huggins, I can remember, in a Mosquito, which was the highest I'd ever been, which was a 36,000-37,000 feet, you know, hanging and then going down like a lift and so on. All perfectly all right except the last one, where we had to go in a Lancaster. I think it's called Green Park. It's a park in London. And we had to go at 500 feet, and we were given a special dispensation and everything. And we went, and I understand that there were 200 letters, telephone things of complaint. It was not long after the war, wanting the crew court-martialed and all sorts. These were traced back, again we understand, almost certainly to peace groups, orchestrated and financed mainly through Moscow, and many of which later joined CND, where the leader, as you know, was one of the leaders in denigrating Bomber Command, where two of the members were, their names I've got too written down, but I can't remember, began with P, made some sort of broadcast, one thing and another. They were well up. They were concerned with the Guardian newspaper. They took part in denigration. They also plotted at CND for the escape of a man called George Blake, who betrayed at his trial 42 people, but he's still alive, I believe. And about a year ago, in the local, in the paper, he was boasting. In one of the papers, he was boasting that he betrayed about 500 altogether, all he was responsible for, all these agents in Czechoslovakia and all the rest of them. And although they weren't put to death, then most of them seemed to die in uranium mines and things like that within 12, 18 months of being taken. And so I don't think very much of them.
Which did you prefer, the SOE work or the bombing work?
Probably the SOE work. You see, although you you saw them running around on the ground, but you never had any contact with them. You didn't know who they were until after the war. you made a few inquiries, you know, at headquarters and a few intelligence people. Because you see, when the war ended, I had this time in London, and I went along one day and. The chap said, oh, I don't know which way to turn. I've got all these, you know, I've got the auditors coming in. I've got these accounts to do. And I said, well, what's the problem? Remember, I was with the accountants. And I told you farmers came in. They were driven in because they had what was known as incomplete accounts. They'd have their bank statements with a few missing. They'd have a box, probably smelling in the cow shed, with all sorts of things in, including a diary, such as paid Bill Turner £75 on account, and so on. And Daisy gave birth, and so incomplete accounts. And if they didn't have any accounts, the Inland Revenue said, right, we'll take it, you made £2,000 last year. Income tax is 10 bob in the pound, and with allowances you owe us £800, you see. That's £400 an hour and £400 6 months. So the farmer said, oh, I didn't make any money last year, you know. And all right, well, let's have some accounts then. So they're driven into the accountants. And so you had got some knowledge of incomplete accounts. So I said to this chap, what have you got? I said, you've got all your bank statements. I didn't see why you couldn't. And he says, can you do it then? And I said, no, I'm here under, you know, medical treatment. But I said, I well, if I can. And of course, I did that for him. So I had some access, because then, with people being demobbed for a very short, I was put in the welfare office, and the flying officer in charge, I don't know what happened to him, he got a posting because he wanted a permanent commission, and the one who knew most about it was the sergeant. That one took his demob because he'd just inherited £16,000, which was a fortune in those days, from an aunt, and took his demob as soon as he could.
But the question I asked you was, you were telling me why you preferred SOE work.
Oh, yes. And then I got various information after the war from there. And that's confirmed me in my idea that there was some tie-up between these Kmarts, you know, all teachers and people, which I found out about after the war and from your records, which tied up with what we've remembered on the actual trips, and what we got from our intelligence officer on the squadron.
Did the war leave you with any after effects?
Well, only that, curiously enough, this place, they said, you boys will have to be careful, always do plenty of exercise, because you might get adrenaline gland exhaustion or something like that, you know, constantly up and down. And in fact, I went on until about 60, and then one day I thought the world had come to an end. I woke up and I couldn't see out of one eye, and I was absolutely shattered, and they said it was a form of rheumatoid arthritis, and I've had trouble since. But you know, they're pretty good, the medics, they keep one going. And except that I had blood clots for some reason, and collapsed and banged an eye, and then a couple of mini strokes, and they kept me going, and it was all sort of based on this rheumatoid arthritis business, I understand.
Is it traceable to the war?
No, not so far as, well, I think it is, personally. Because, you know, these aircraft were icy cold, you know. There was no heating of any sort. You had three pairs of gloves. You had silk, inner, wool, and then the leather. Well, you took the leather off. And anybody stupid enough, because, you see, when you're plotting, 1 degree is 1 mile out in 60 miles. And that plus, you know, you can easily get several degrees change of wind and so on, And if anybody took their gloves off, which I think the odd one did, and the dividers would stick to their fingers with the cold, and lose a bit of skin.